At Avocado, we know that not all mattresses are created equal. While other beds trap heat, ours sets it free. Made without polyurethane foams and crafted with natural latex, cotton, and wool. Breathable, comfortable, and supportive. No overheating, just clean, organic sleep that performs. Save 15% on our award-winning mattresses this July 4th sale. Avocado, celebrate organic. Shop at avocadomattress.com or leading retailers nationwide.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now, we're joined in studio by Laura Guckian, motherhood coach and host of Mom Fessions podcast. When Laura's first baby was 10 months old, she took the decision to go into a psychiatric hospital. She joins us now to tell us her story. Laura, thanks so much for coming in to us. When you discovered you were pregnant with your first child, tell us how you felt.
I was really, really excited, Shane, because I mean, everything I'd heard about motherhood was this is going to be the best time of your life. You are going to have your baby and feel this incredible gush of love. So for 9 months, I was really, really excited to become a mother. And little did I know, it was not going to be the best time of my life for me.
So after the birth of your son, like many women, you struggled.
Really struggled. And for me, it was almost instant. I remember my baby being handed to me and waiting for that gush of love and not feeling it and thinking straight away, what's wrong with me? I must be doing something wrong because they told me I'd feel this gush of love. And instead of that feeling was utter fear, almost a sense of how do I hold this baby? What do I do with that baby? And that fear kind of continued for my first couple of days in hospital because, like every mother, we're told breast is best. And I tried to breastfeed and I couldn't.
And again, like many women.
Like many women, yeah. Or many women who choose not to breastfeed, yeah. Which is also valid. And unfortunately for me, I was made feel incredibly bad in hospital for not being able to breastfeed. And I spent my first 3 days in hospital bawling my eyes out, feeling like a terrible mother, like being really scared, going, what do I do with this baby? And I remember the moment, like most people when they're leaving with their baby, there's a picture of their partner like holding the baby seat and it looks like this serene moment. For hours, our little boy was screaming, crying. My husband was kind of running out going, sugar, the meter, the parking meter is up. And even in that moment, I was like, oh, wow, we didn't even get that moment. All of this feels really, really hard. And so I guess the months that followed continued to get harder and harder. Our little boy had severe silent reflux. And if anyone's listening now that knows what that is, they probably have a pit in their stomach.
I know what that's like.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. It's so horrendous, isn't it?
Yeah.
So cried 24/7, wouldn't sleep, had feeding challenges. So he was a very sick little boy and...
You were worried about him.
Worried about him.
And worried about yourself as well because of how
absolutely.
You were feeling.
Absolutely. And I mean, we were new parents, so we didn't know, well, what's normal? And everything we'd heard about parenthood and motherhood is it's amazing. But yet for us, I was really struggling, but couldn't see anyone else feeling like how I was feeling. And so... The hard part about it is when we talk about mental health and maternal mental health, we say, tell someone. I was telling anyone that had a set of ears, Shane, any healthcare professional, friends, family. And I guess, unfortunately, there was no meaningful support offered to
really?
Me.
You felt there was, even though you were talking to people, you were open about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And like, I guess, and many women might relate to this. I guess I was saying it to my GP and it was a case of, oh, this is postnatal depression. Here's some medication and off you go. And, you know, as I tell my story more, you'll realize why I'm frustrated with that and why that's all that happened for me. So I guess it escalated to a point that when my baby was 10 months old, and to put into perspective here, prior to having my baby, I had a really great career in marketing. I was studying part time for my master's in psychology. I was volunteering with a mental health charity. So I was someone that I would have thought was very well placed to access support. And the support just wasn't there in Ireland for mothers at the time, and sadly is not there today either. So I made the very difficult decision because one Sunday morning I woke up, and prior to that I was having like this sense, and I think a lot of mothers will relate to this, where you have this fantasy of, if only I could go somewhere and sleep for a couple of nights. Yeah. If only I could go to Dublin Airport. And we all feel it because the reality of sleep deprivation is really hard. Like it is literally a form of torture, except when it comes to motherhood, it's called love. And the irony of that is crazy. And I had that thought again, but it kind of drifted into, oh, but maybe it would be easier if you just weren't here. And normally when I had that thought, the logical part of my brain would kick in and go, but that's not an option. But this morning I couldn't find the logic. So it scared me. And I was like, enough is enough now. I literally feel like I'm on a boat that's sinking and I'm screaming at everyone for help. And everyone's just saying, cherish every moment. You know, they're only young once. And nobody was offering support. And it was almost this sense of, I've been treading water for 10 months now and I can't tread anymore. Like, I can't do this and nobody's helping me. So I guess I made the really hard decision that I needed to go to a psychiatric hospital in order to, I guess, one, figure out what was happening and B, why I was feeling and how I could get better. So the next day, my husband and I and our little 10-month-old baby went into my GP and really had the conversation of, I want you to refer me to a psychiatric hospital, to which she was quite shocked. Her first response was, but you can't bring your baby. And I said, I don't want to bring him. For me, I was so unwell at the time, I knew I needed to be away from him and I didn't actually want him to be with me, which again, I think everything in life, you know, if you've any other circumstance in life where you are really unwell and you have to be away from your child, nobody would expect you to continue to take care of them. No. But when it comes to mothers struggling with their mental health, there's this expectation that you'll continue to do the mothering and you'll be happy to do it. And when you're saying, I don't want to do that, again, there it's layered with judgment. So long story short, I packed my bags. I was told I would go to this psychiatric hospital and granted a kind of, to say this was a private psychiatric hospital in Dublin. So that's my experience of what I'm talking about. I was told you'd be there for a couple of nights. So as any new mother, I was like, this actually sounds quite good. I'm going to go there, I'm going to get a couple of nights sleep. They're going to tell me what's wrong and I'm going to get some meaningful support. And I ended up spending 2 months there.
The reality was very different.
The reality was very different to what I was told would happen. And I think that reality kind of sunk in as soon as I signed myself in and went upstairs and kind of left my baby and husband. And, you know, I was searched, which they had to search me. But I was under the mindset of, but I don't need to be here. I'm just kind of cheating the system to get support.
When did you realise actually you did need to be there and it was going to be a longer haul than that?
I think it was probably 3 or 4 days later when I finally got to meet my multidisciplinary team. So I was under the care of like a consultant psychiatrist, a psychologist, lots of different people. And I walked in and it was like almost this semicircle. Like looking back now, it was like something wild from a horror movie. They were all sitting in this semicircle and I was sitting in the middle. And, you know, I didn't know who was in charge, but there was this gorgeous woman sitting in front of me. And I remember seeing like the red soles of her Louis Vuitton heels. And I just sensed she was in charge. And it was very much, Laura, you asked for our help. And to help you, we need to figure out what's going on. And I'm like, great, I'm up for that. And to do that, Laura, it normally takes, you know, 8 to 10 weeks. And I was like, sorry, excuse me. And, you know, to be fair to them, they were like, you know, you can leave now if you want, but really, we don't think you're well and we want to help you. So are you up for that? And I guess in that moment, I surrendered and said yes, because unfortunately, in Ireland, there is no other option for me. So I'm going to do this because I don't want to, like being frank about it, I don't want to die. I want to get better for my baby. And this is what I'm going to have to do. And ended up spending 2 months there, which many people are shocked about. But looking back now, I'm really glad that I did, because they ultimately, while, and I've spoken about this, did they take care of me in the way I probably wanted? No, but I think they did their best, Shane, with what they knew at the time. And the sad part is kind of like a few days in, even a week in, they were like, we thought this was postnatal depression, but it's not. And we don't know what's going on here. And I said, okay, I trust you'll find out. And I was assessed and observed for 2 months. And I left that hospital still not knowing why. They couldn't diagnose me with anything. They were like, we think there's traits of maybe OCD personality disorder. We think there's traits of borderline personality disorder, but not enough for me to diagnose you. So basically, we're sorry. And off you go home. And there was no meaningful support offered. I basically left the hospital to rebuild my life.
That must have been incredibly difficult.
Yeah, I was very angry, Shane. And honestly, I didn't want to go home, which a lot of people don't understand, because I had kind of almost reverted back to being in a child, where you're in this hospital setting, they're cooking for you, they're taking care of you. And I then had to go back to the mothering, to my husband and baby. And I didn't want to do it.
So How did you do it?
Yeah, and I mean, and I'm conscious as I'm talking about this, we're scratching the surface. And I've been talking about this on my Instagram page, Mind Mommy Coaching, basically sharing my diary of all the ins and outs. So if anyone wants more details about the hospital, you can check that out. But what happened then is over the next 3 years, I basically had to rebuild my life. Everything fell apart. My career in marketing ended. We had to leave Dublin and move back to a little small town in Tipperary, which I was from. And if anyone can relate to this, you know, growing up in a small town in Ireland, I just wanted to get out of there. Growing up, I got out of there. I traveled the world. I worked all over the world. And here I was as, you know, a 32-year-old woman coming back with her husband and baby.
Because of the support network?
Because of the support network. Because we quickly learned once I was discharged and my husband eventually had to go back to his job in Dublin, I wasn't really functioning. I wasn't really able to take care of my child, you know, not unsupervised, that's a bit severe, but I needed the help.
Yeah, sure.
And I knew I needed to go back to my parents to do that. And I kind of almost felt like I was going home with a teenage pregnancy and they were going to support. So moved back to the small town. My husband had to commute up and down to Dublin, which was, you know, there was no remote working then. And it was an incredibly awful time of my life, probably more so than the actual year that led to the psychiatric hospital, because again, nobody could tell me what was happening. I was doing therapy. It wasn't helping. I was still on antidepressants. It wasn't helping. And I just felt like it was getting worse and worse. And I guess fast forward probably really 2.5, 3 years later, when I made the decision to have another baby, which looking back now was like, wow, were you ready? I probably wasn't, Shane. But again, we just follow the shoulds in life. Well, I should have another baby because that's what a quote unquote good mother does, even though I always say there's no such thing as a good or a bad mother. Had a miscarriage, which again, I was like, you don't deserve another baby. This is karma, which obviously isn't true. But then did go on to have a lovely, beautiful second baby, little boy. And that experience was completely different. He didn't have silent reflux. He just had a bottle and slept. Can you imagine?
Was that the turning point for you?
A little bit for me, because I think in that moment I forgave myself, even though I had nothing to forgive myself for. But I realized it wasn't me. It was the unique circumstances I'd been navigating.
Were you, I suppose, hung up on being the perfect mother? Was that part of the issue, do you think?
A little bit. And that's definitely a major issue for mothers today and why they struggle with their mental health.
Because
really good thing you brought up, because that whole illusion of the perfect mother actually came from, because I went on, kind of skipping the story, to study motherhood and like, yeah, why are the social and economic factors that make it hard to be a mother. And the perfect mother was actually like developed around the 1950s, 60s, when they realized, hey, wait a minute here, women are getting into education, which means they're going to go into the workforce. So who's going to plug that gap of free labor in the home? And it was kind of, if you think of the perfect mother, you probably think of that 1950s housewife, perfectly groomed, doing it all. And it was sort of created to ensure women didn't complain if it was hard, because there was a fear of they'd be labelled a bad mother. And when I share that with mothers, there's often anger going, that's why I fear, or I can't be honest about how hard mother is, for fear of judgment. But there was a little bit of me striving for that, but also just feeling completely alone, because I was told motherhood is amazing and we can't talk about how hard it is. And there was absolutely nobody talking about it at the time. So I thought I was the only one.
So looking back, how many years ago, how old is your eldest
so
now?
He's almost 10.
Okay, so we're talking a decade ago.
Yeah, yeah.
I suppose, what have you learned about yourself and about that experience?
Yeah.
You now have three children.
I have three children. Yeah. So I did go on to have another little girl. Many things I learned about myself, which is probably a spoiler alert here if anyone is following the series on my Instagram page, is that I'm actually neurodivergent. And they failed to recognize that in the hospital, which in my opinion is unforgivable, because I literally told them I can't look people in the eye. What's the hardest part of motherhood? I struggle with being organized, the lack of control, all of that. And my children are all neurodivergent. And that's how I learned, because I learned that they are. And I think really what happened to me, there's two parts to it. One, I think, you know, now is just a really hard time to be a mother. And most mothers struggle with their mental health on a spectrum. And in fact, in the hospital, there was mothers everywhere. And one might argue, well, half the population are women and a lot of them are mothers. But this was different because none of the mothers had a diagnosis, Shane.
Okay.
And these were mothers at all stages. And the second part is, I think I was neurodivergent and motherhood is harder. And that's just the reality of it.
Of course. You're now a motherhood coach.
Yes.
Has your experience helped you hugely in terms of helping other people,
yeah,
do you think?
And that's what led me to set up Mind Mommy Coaching and my podcast Momfessions. Is I guess when I was in the hospital, there was a frustration of, if I ever sort of get out of here and figure out what happened, I want to stop this happening to other mothers. So when my baby was about 18 months, or not 18 months, about a year, my second baby, I was like, I'm just going to set up an Instagram page and start talking about how hard motherhood is. And women just started flocking. So this was 5 years ago and nobody was talking about it. Yeah. And I think it's my lived experience and the way I talk about motherhood.
Were you reluctant to talk about that at all? Or was that, did that come easy to you?
I had a massive fear. I had a massive fear of judgment. What are people going to think? Will I be labelled a bad mother? Surely nobody else felt like this. And once I started talking about the things I talk about, like rage and, you know, one of the things I've heard from a lot of mothers, particularly from my podcast Momfessions, is how so many women actually regret becoming mothers. And I think that's a really interesting thing to look at, because I did research a few years ago and this was among 2,000 women, and 38% of them at one stage regretted becoming a mother because it was so hard. And I think as a society, we need to talk about that. We need to look at, why is that happening? What can we do to change that, instead of shaming mothers and placing the blame on them?
Your podcast, Momfessions, it's recently been named Best New Irish Podcast and British Parenting Podcast. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
It covers all parenting issues, or is it specifically through the eyes of a mother?
It's specifically, and I'm really
clear
this.
Well, obviously it's Momfessions.
Yeah,
of course it's through the eyes of a mother.
But the reason I set up Momfessions is I couldn't find a podcast at the time that was talking about the experiences and feelings I was having in motherhood. They were either talking about the mothering, as I call it, the parenting, or they were talking about like rainbows and butterflies. And I was like, God, why is nobody talking about how bloody hard this is? So when I initially had the idea, I was like, I'm going to get mums to send in voice notes. And I shared it with some producers in Ireland and they were like, that's not a podcast. And I'm like, you're wrong. So I took it to London and that's why it's produced in London. And I mean, I started that in 2024. As you say, it's gone on to win all of these awards. And I think what that demonstrates is our generation of mothers are just craving to hear someone else talk about how hard motherhood is, because they feel so unseen in their experience.
10 years on, are you a very different person now
completely
than you were there?
Yeah, completely. I've learned, in a way, it was the worst stage of my life, but it was also the best, because I learned so much about myself. And I hope, I really hope, through my work, that I'm also helping other mothers navigate their hard chapter of motherhood and realize, if you're finding it hard, it's not actually your fault. It's the circumstances you're navigating and the fact that there's never been higher expectations placed on mothers and the village is gone. So why wouldn't it be hard, Shane?
Yeah. Okay. Well, look, congratulations on Momfessions, the podcast, and thank you so much for speaking so honestly and eloquently to us today. Laura Guckian, motherhood coach, thank you indeed for talking to The Hard Shoulder.
Thank you, Shane.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With Kia.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.